Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Mr. Kraz and Garth. It's Thursday, the 12th of February, 2015. If folks out there would like to get this podcast, it's available from iTunes. So you can download and subscribe over there. And you can also get the podcast from podomatic.com. That's our main podcasting website where I upload it to. So check us out at podomatic.com. And that's the Kraz Files, always C-R-A-Z-Z. And I also put some of the podcasts up over at Spreaker. If you want to check out Spreaker.com, we're there, the Kraz Files. I've set up a new Facebook page for people to come and check us out, and it's now The Kraz Files. Please come over and check out all the stories going up there and like our page and follow us there. And you can also find us over at Twitter as well. There's a few stories going up there. Also, you can send us some email to the Kraz Files at yahoo.com.au. And I'll also be hopefully putting up another website soon, like another link site. So I'm just working on that and I'll let people know. And thanks for listening to our podcast. Okay, Garth, we're plugged into the Matrix. Everything is functioning as it should.
Great.
And I was just saying in the intro as well, Garth, I'm just working on another website to put up. So that should be a couple of weeks. Just another sort of link site. So the other one was getting a bit hard to manage. So this will be easier for me to manage.
And, sure.
Yeah, a couple of podcasts we did ago were heard in nearly 40 countries. So really nice. And
That's good.
Yeah, it's really fun to do. We love it. But we'll get stuck into this today with our guest, Garth, and plunge down the rabbit hole as we do every Thursday, and looking at this disintegration of our society and moral standards. We're losing momentum, Garth, so we just need to keep talking, don't we? And the real people are out there, and the ones like us with real spirit and the need to keep knowing more and more and keeping their heads above this bloody water as it tries to suck us down, you know, and staying close to the true force of nature and life and spirit itself. But let's not forget that to many folks out there, Garth, we are the crazy ones for even attempting to question this tainted, depraved, false reality that's spoon-fed to us from birth. You know, we're the weirdos, aren't we? And we're the racists for standing up for not only what we believe in, but also our very identities, which is so important. And we just have to keep talking and keep doing this. And as the word spreads, it gets better and better. And I think there's some positive changes out there, Garth, happening. We're sort of being led into this increasing sort of artificial nightmare, if you will, you know, and we're being pushed forward into this, and we need to maintain our dignity and control and try as best we can to warn people and of what's going on and what's happening to our people and get the message out. And one great lady doing that is Lana Loctiff, and she's from Red Ice Radio, Red Ice Creations. We love that here. And she's also the host of Radio 314. Great program, and she's a great host on that. I listen to it each week, and she's come on for a chat with us. So welcome to the Crass Files podcast, Lana.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Hello, Lana.
Yeah, it's I spoke to you last year to come on, and it was a bit close to Christmas, so it's finally we can do it. The new year has swung into action, 2015, as I told you. I blink and it's another month passes, but
that's right.
It's going very fast, very fast. But why don't you let us know a little bit about yourself, how you got into this and working with Red Ice, and anything you want to let us know about. I know you do work with clothes, you said, and all this stuff, so bring it on, girl.
Alrighty. I always hate talking about myself.
No. Well, you're under the hammer today. You know, you're not doing the interviewing. We are.
That's right. Well, you know, I come from a family that's always been open-minded, so a lot of the topics that we cover on Red Ice hasn't been so foreign to me, but it's evolved throughout the years. And I was working in Los Angeles. I was working in the film and the music industry, and then I pulled out once I realized how horrific it was there. And I was looking for a new project to do, got into some music. And at the time, I was listening to Henrik on Red Ice Radio, and I heard all his music, and I thought, oh, he's great. I need to contact him to do a music project. And I also secretly thought, oh, this is the kind of guy that I want to date.
You know? So he's a very handsome man.
We ended up connecting, and I ended up going up to Sweden and then ended up just staying there. We fell in love, and now we're working on different projects together on the website. And I'm also working on a natural fiber organic clothing line, which will be out hopefully next month.
Is that with the llama and alpaca type materials that you're using, or wool or mix?
Yeah, just a little bit of everything, all natural fibers, because I wanted to get away from all the chemicals laced and all the synthetic fabrics. So it's been a big endeavor, but hopefully it will be out next month. I'm trying to do everything in America, too, sewing it using local sewing contractors, which has been kind of challenging, which is kind of sad, but it's coming together now.
It's beautiful clothing. I spent a lot of time in Ecuador and bought so many clothes there. They're almost free. It's just amazing down there. And and also I really like the alpaca. It's such beautiful fabric.
It's very nice.
Yeah, in Australia we have beautiful wool, but of course it gets taken to China and turned into garments, and we buy it back.
It's funny because I got a hold of, it's actually from Australia, the fiber, some organic wool from a sheep farm down there, and we turned it into fiber here, actually into fabric from Vermont. So all my first line is going to be Australian wool.
Yeah, it's happening down here a lot, which is really positive. A lot of small family farms are coming back out of the woodwork, and they're starting to do this, biodynamics, organics, dairies, and the families are going back to the farm because we've been pushed out by these big agribusiness who don't give a shit really about animals' welfare, about anyone's welfare, just profit, just bucks. That's what they care about. And, in Australia we have so much opportunity still and so much land to use. And it's great to see this. There's a real change happening here. So it is positive. It is positive. So that's great you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So what else? Tell us a little bit about radio, your radio show.
Sure.
You do that only once a week, but and you do
once a week, but yeah, videos. But sometimes I've been doing more than that. Yeah, it's actually 314.
314, sorry. Yes,
yeah, yes. No, it's okay. It's actually my birthday. It's also Pi Day, of course, 314.
So. Yeah, Radio 314, I forget it sometimes. It's
That's okay, no worries. Yeah, so I'm going to try to do more shows regularly, but really working on a lot of videos. That's what we want to do more of now. So a lot of video commentary, because every day we see just insanity in the news and we think we need to cover this. We need to say something because no one else is saying it. The left is just pumping out things just day and night, but we need to actually be pumping out some of our own information to try and point out the hypocrisy. I think that's really important right now. Also in entertainment, that's why I did the video St. George, because you keep hearing, I don't know if you guys hear it down in Australia, but you hear how Americans stole the land, right? We're just slave drivers and had our colonies and just genocided Indians. You hear just that same lie all the time. So I really got fed up with it, and that's when I decided to do the video St. George. And then I decided I need to stay on this path and continue to point out the hypocrisy in TV, because right now there's a lot of just blatant anti-white programming that needs to be called out.
Yeah. Yes, and it goes over, it'll go over people's head until it's pointed out. And once it's pointed out, people will start looking for it. And with St. George, I mean, it was so obvious.
It was the venomous, nasty intent behind that show as well. That's what made me stand up and take interest, Lana, because you broke that down really well. Really, really well. And I haven't seen that show in Australia. I don't think people would watch it. We do get the good thing here is we get a lot of these really bad sitcoms, and they come on, like, say, 8 o'clock, and then they slowly get pushed towards midnight and disappear. The main shows here are cooking shows now, unbelievably, and you do get your trash, of course. I'm not saying we don't, but there's some really bad ones, and so I didn't know about that show, and it was just I know the actor that George Lopez, is that his name?
He's a so-called
comedian, and I watched your breakdown of that, and it's really unbelievable. You said, imagine that was on the other foot. The shoe was on the other foot there, and you had a rich white family with a black, maid, or one of them with a Mexican Hispanic wife calling her a bitch and a whore. I mean, it would be
an outrage.
It would not make it on Australian television. There's no way. But the thing that I noticed with that breakdown you did of that show, it's not something I would ever watch, but it's there's just such a nasty intent behind that, you know. It's not done without intent. It's done on purpose, and it's absolutely terrible Americans can sit down and watch that at dinner every night and laugh at their own demise, you know.
There's a lot of filth on America right now, and people just, they consume it. They love it. It's a huge TV culture here, and that's where they're getting their news. That's where they're getting their history. That's where they're learning how they should behave, what's socially acceptable. So it's actually very dangerous, those sitcoms. And I noticed that as I've been studying them, that's where they program a lot of the anti-white politics, is in these little comedies or little love stories. It's not the intense dramas or the sci-fi. So you think that it's just kind of harmless and, oh, it's okay, it's just a TV show. But then you realize what a weapon it's become.
Oh, you got it made there, yeah. And Garth hates him. Garth, if he watches TV too long, his blood starts to boil and start bursting out of his eyeballs, you know. And he drives my mother crazy, and everyone has to leave the room and, you know, until you turn the TV off. But I feel like...
Oh, not that bad. I just don't watch it.
He likes a good documentary and YouTube stuff. But I'm like you, Lana, I do keep my pulse, my finger on the pulse here. I don't know what sort of damage these new TVs are doing to my brain, but I do like to keep up to date with the shows that are coming out, so we can do this show and try and warn people and break it down. But you're right there with these sitcoms and these sort of, as you called it, gross-out comedies as well. They're amazing. And I've talked to Gus before about it. It's really incredible what I've noticed. The popular ones we got here is one called Two Broke Girls and these types of shows. And I was watching them, and I just couldn't believe it. The way that they're able now to slip like pornographic material in what they say in the shows, and it's sort of, I guess it's going over most people's heads. You know, they're able to take pornographic sort of words and sort of break them down in a very sadistic sort of smart way, and then they put it into these shows, and I guess kids and people are watching that at night, and they're not hearing this sort of stuff that's coming out of these shows. And I get my iPad out and I take so many notes and write everything that's said. I record them and I try and break them down on the show, but it's definitely got worse and worse. There's another one you have in your country called Friends with Better Lives, and that was on for about 2 weeks and it disappeared.
I know that one, unfortunately.
And it's all sex, isn't it? It's all sex and orgasm jokes. And same with all the movies. We had a great movie guy in Australia. He does, like on our ABC, they break down and talk about movies. And a lot of these people are saying now they just can't watch these comedies because... It's not that they're not funny. They're just, the whole things are about penises.
And it's always gay. What's up with all these gay references all the time? I don't know how a straight man could think that that's funny.
It's the I don't want to sit down and watch a movie about dick jokes the whole time, and I'm like, I don't understand this. And you go on Amazon and stuff. Oh, great, side splitting, amazing, so funny. And I sit there and I just can't get through these. They're so bad. All these Jonah, I don't know what their names are, the Jewish actors in Hollywood. And actually the other night I was just watching TV, a movie came on I'd never seen with the Jewish Ben Stiller. And that movie was called, let me get my brain together. I think it was The Heartbreak Kid, is that right?
And I know that one.
Yeah, and he ends up marrying this beautiful blonde girl, and she turns out to be a total, like, whore with a deviated septum and a coke,
always putting down the blonde.
Addict. Yeah, and then he ends up marrying the Latino girl, or the more Jewish sort of looking girl. But the way the blonde European sort of looking girls are portrayed in the movies, they're all whores and drug addicts with deviated septum and all this stuff. You
exactly.
just shake your head.
I know.
And the Jewish guys are always the cool guys, a lot of out of the American Pie movies. You know, and so as I'm like you, but sometimes I do break these films down differently in my own mind, and people might not agree with it, but it's just things that I get out of them, like the American Pie movie with the Jewish kid screwing, putting his penis in the pie. And I thought straight away of the old American saying, it's as American as apple pie, which is a wholesome thing. Americans like pies. And here's a Jewish kid having sex with a pie. It's almost like they're sticking their finger up to America saying, Hollywood, you know?
Well, they do. And Jews, actually, I was just reading, was in the Jewish Journal today, where there's a Jew writing about how, yes, Jews are subversive, and it's all about, you know, going after the WASP and the establishment in America and breaking down the moral fiber and the dominant culture. We want to weaken it. And they're just, I mean, they don't even hide what they're doing. They're trying to push this degenerate filth to break us down. You mentioned the word parasite earlier. Well, that's what always comes to my mind. We have a parasite in our midst, and it's coming after our cultures that at one time were wholesome and homogenous and strong and not full of all this yuck. And it's one of the reasons why they were kicked out of so many places, is bringing in the smut and the filth and the porn and all of that stuff. It's bad behavior.
Well, that was an enormous problem in Germany when Hitler took over, wasn't it? I mean, he had to try and clean it up there. And there's certainly, you know, like, my jury's still out on Hitler. I can't quite understand the whole scenario there because of the many, many decades of propaganda since World War II. But Hitler certainly was good for Germany, and he certainly cleaned it up a lot of that, because the Jews, as you mentioned, they've been kicked out of every country in the world just about, you know.
Well, it's pornography, Garth. That's how they bring down society.
Money and pornography,
As Kyle Hunt was saying, they aired Lana pornography in Iraq, I think it was, or some of those countries, after they blew them to bits. And Palestine, they're actually airing this pornography on their TV stations. And so that's how they bring down a society. So they're definitely attacking us. You know, they're attacking men on a spiritual level, but a sexual, you know, an energy level as well. Because young men have a lot of sexual energy, and they're getting that, and they're taking it, and it's they're making young men hate women and see women as you know, they just want to do porno and be gangbanged and all this stuff. And we've talked about this before, especially in countries like India, where they're just groping and raping women in the middle of the day now, because they're now getting full access to, you know, internet, and I don't feel like they've had the time to digest it like we have in our countries, and they're watching all of this. And so they're being immigrated into Sweden, for example, where there's all these beautiful blog girls. And what are they going to think? Well, that's the girls out of the porno that I've been watching, you know? So we're in big trouble.
Well, you also have Islam coming in, and they have total disrespect for people who aren't followers of their religion and their faith, and they feel that they can do whatever they want to them. And it's amazing how these feminists in Sweden don't seem to mind about Islam coming in there and raping women. Yeah. They don't seem to say a word. It just, it's mind-blowing, the mind control. And, well, that's the other thing. You know, Gloria Steinem, she was a Jewish CIA agent. She went in there with her feminist movement, polluting women's minds, telling them how evil men were. It's a, I mean, this is about destroying the balance between men and women and ultimately stopping probably procreation between white men and women, because this is who they've been pushing it on the longest.
Yeah, that chemical attraction, the sweaty palms, the looking across the room and seeing someone that you like and getting to know them, that bond that a man and a woman has, they're just smashing it to pieces, and they're just filling this black hole with all this filth and depravity, you know? And the sad thing is, like, we have a radio show, Triple J, in Australia, and they have a program called Hack, and I was driving to work. It's all right. It's pretty tame, but they were talking about pornography, and they were asking young boys, like 12-year-old, 15-year-old boys, about this, because they look at it on their smartphones and everything so much, and they were asking them what they would expect out of a girl on a first date, and these young boys are saying anal sex and a blowjob.
What?
Yeah, these guys don't even have pubes on their balls yet. They don't know what they're talking about. They've been programmed to say that, you know. And we got reports from the UK as well, where 10-year-old boys are addicted to hardcore pornography.
Wow!
So this is change. This is a game changer. It really is, and no one wants to talk about it. And we
people
need to
don't
take
know
it
what healthy. People don't know what healthy relationships or healthy sex is anymore.
How can a man have a healthy relationship looking at that?
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So, well, you know, the original smut peddlers were Jews, and they still dominate the porn industry today. So that's why we're pointing fingers at them for some of these topics, because they really are the ones that are stirring things up here.
Well, they certainly are. And I mean, it's not only that, Lana, what's some of the most disgusting stories I've heard with the Russian mafia, which are Jewish. I mean, a lot of the Hollywood peddled that the Sicilian and the Italian mafia were the big boys in America at that time, through those particular times. Yeah, but the big thing was it was the Jew mafia. And they were the strongest, and the Jew mafia was always tied with the Russian. And it's the trading in these young, blonde Russian girls, which is absolutely – it's absolutely terrible what's
Eastern
happening.
Eastern European girls, yeah.
Yeah,
in
Eastern
Israel. European. And they're stealing them, you know, and they're putting them into brothels and stuff like
they
that.
They go to Israel, Garth. They go to Israel.
They're in Israel.
They
exactly.
drug them and rape them and use them and throw them in the gutter. That's what they do.
and yet, you know, they're allowed, Israel is allowed to go on and say, you know, as though we're a democratic nation, as though we're a clean skin sort of thing. And they seem to get away with it because, well, they own all the media. But it's coming out, and it's coming out very, very slowly, but it's coming out. And it's so important that people understand what is happening, particularly with this trade of young girls. Which I find, you know, and even reading, I mean, listening to some of the stuff on Red Ice, particularly what's happening in Sweden, is shocking as well. And then we're finding out it's happening in England as well. And we're finding in our own country, in Australia, Lana, that it's happening here as well.
And America too. It's just under the radar.
Yeah, and the press and the police aren't doing anything.
Nope.
It's really a control system from the top, because, you know, I had four sons. I didn't have any daughters. I've got young granddaughters, and I'm frightened for them, because one of them's just approaching 18, and she wants to travel. She's been overseas to Spain, and she wants to travel, and I don't know how to approach it. You know, I'm concerned for her, because she's very inexperienced. Although she's been over once, but this is the sort of girls that they prey on.
Oh, yeah.
The young, and experienced. Mm.
And Europe's becoming dangerous now. I mean, Sweden never had violence like they do now and crime. It's just outrageous what's going on there. And I don't know how people turn their their cheek. It's just, it's a disease in the mind. And some of these people, they're basically going to be taken out. They're taking themselves out. That's why we talk all the time about, well, society is going down. It's already starting to crumble. We have to just step back, let it fall, pull some good people out with us and think about, what are we going to do next? What are we going to set up next? Because we're on a sinking ship. There's no point in trying to save it or save these people. We can only speak to our folk that actually hear what's going on and see what's going on and plan the next stage. Don't you guys agree?
Yes, I do, because there's been suggestions that maybe, you know, our family came from Europe or from Ireland and Scotland, and some from the France, but this person, I forget who it was suggesting that maybe we ought to recreate Europe for the whites only.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
I like the idea too of maybe all of us who, you know, are New Zealand, Australia, Canada, America, if we went back and fought for our homelands, if we all just left our countries behind, it would just crumble and then we'd go to Europe and help fight the war there and help clean it up. I mean, that's another possibility that I can see happening. But it would have to be a concentrated effort with a lot of people doing it. Otherwise, you'll have, you know, the UN coming in and killing and murdering us.
Yes, yes, unfortunately. It's a problem, isn't it? It's a big problem. But all we can hope, Lana, is with these sorts of programs that are coming onto the internet and many, many more and linking up. You know, just listening to Tim Murdoch this morning and the other day is quite fascinating, because he's got his own way he was talking about doing it, the way he's doing it, and it makes a lot of sense. So with everybody contributing their own way of trying to get this message out, is adding momentum.
Yes, your
and
own
I think
personal
it's working.
Energy,
I really
Gav.
Do.
It's like we're doing a podcast, and I mean, what Lana and Henrik are doing is much bigger, you know, but we can just do what we think we can do, you know, and put it out there and hope people
will
come
on
board.
I agree. And we have to remember that white folks are very versatile. There are a variety of people. Some want humor, some want intellect, you know. So if we have different shows or different programs or different videos that approach things in a different way, we're going to pull in more people. We're not just all the same people. We all think really different. We have different personalities. So I like that there's a lot of different shows and different flavors, and we shouldn't all be the same. We should offer something different, and I think that that's appealing. And
yes.
I also think that people need to start finding out, how are you going to contribute? Because this is a war. So what are you good at? What are your talents? How are you going to put them to use? How are you going to rearrange your life to actually make a difference and get in this war and actually pick up a sword and fight? I mean, we need people volunteering and helping us with certain things. We've got plenty of jobs we'd like to fill to help move things ahead.
Yes. Well, John Lash suggested that on one of his interviews with Henrik. I think it was his last interview. He suggested exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that is a great idea. That was I really enjoyed that. And so everyone taking a piece of what they want to do. Like Garth and I, Lana, we try to concentrate on these perverts and pedophiles. And there's not many people here saying that, you know, that the Queen of England, these people aren't British. She's a Jew. And they are involved in the murder and rape and of young children. So are the Catholic Church. All these people are. Tony Blair's name's just come out. Bill Clinton, all of them. That's what they have, sex parties, and they rape and kill children. That's what these people do. And so, you know, it's unbelievable. And look what they did to Germany. Look what they did. You look at Tom Goodridge's book, Hellstorm. We talked to him. I struggled to read that, what they did to those women.
Horrific.
And it was what Garth and I are into is the idea behind that. You know, who came up with this idea and where does it go back to? Because for me, it's inhuman. And, you know, it is beyond belief. But I also thought, looking at Tom's book, it was that there was something else there. I think that they feared the German people. Because if you look at the German people, they are so incredible. Everything they make and do is good. And, you know, it was such a modern country at that time as well. And I think they wanted to just get rid of them, because I think it's like that with the white people, you know. I think they want to get rid of us off this planet, you know, and so they can have their way.
We have a threat. We have a moral backbone. Yeah, we have a threat. We don't like to put up with the forces of evil. We like justice. We like the golden rule. We want to treat people well. And right now, I mean, we were in control of things for a long time and had some of the most powerful countries in the world that brought the world many advancements and technology and all kinds of great things. And now you know who wants their turn. So they got to get us out of the way now so that they can climb and be the tyrant on the top.
Yes. Because it's amazing. I think just before World War I, there was almost half the American population were German. And this is incredible that World War I have evolved, because they were definitely frightened of Germany prior to World War I coming up, because Germany were the world's leading manufacturers.
Oh, builders, creators, thinkers,
everything. Everything.
Yeah. Everything to do good.
And they, the Zionists, were petrified, and the so-called, what do you call them, Adam, the parasites?
Oh, yeah, we don't call them global elitists. We call them parasites.
Yeah, they were pretty concerned. And, I mean, actually, Germany had won World War I, but the Zionists and the parasites, they got America into it. And, of course, that's when the problems really started for Germany. But it was an incredible thing that this country built up to such an extent and was destroyed. So there was an agenda there, of course, but yes.
Yeah, some of the best, I support a biodynamics, which started in Australia, Lana. It's a high form of organics, and I support this cruelty-free dairy. There's one in Australia, and in Victoria, I think there's many, and this one is fascinating what they're doing there, and how they treat their animals and the land, and there's absolutely no chemicals. It's almost raw dairy. And their cream and butter is amazing. And these people are German, and they bought that from Germany here. So there you go. You know, I mean,
yeah, Germany does innovators. Really well with organics, exactly. And natural products. I find a lot of things I'm ordering from Germany.
And look at their beer. Garth and I only drink German beer. Just particularly Australian beer is very good. We enjoy a little bit. As you know, Australians like a little bit of a beer, but it's very expensive, about $90 a case. But I like to have a little bit of the German beer because it's just they have a German purity law. It's so old. And generally their beer is made with spring water, and there's no GMO. I've contacted them, not even in their yeast. And they get back to you. It's just amazing. And so Garth's got an old Volkswagen. I think it's about 30 years old, you know. Everything they make and do
is where they come on. 25.
30 years, I think. But the old bomb still goes, Lana. It's good.
Well, that's why America and England stole a bunch of patents from Germany after World War II. So I got rich off of them.
Yeah. And just to mention on that food thing we were talking about, the caveman diet you did an article on.
Yep.
I have that book, Wheat Belly. I've had it for quite a while, and it sort of stirred me up. It sort of got me thinking. So that was an interesting article you wrote there, Lana, on that, because it's proving to be correct.
Yeah.
Oh, the paleo diet. I live by it. Anytime I go off of it, I don't feel well. So I try and keep it with, you know, good, clean, organic meats and vegetables. And I might have like a little millet bread here and there, but really you got to cut all the wheat and grains out. And then I like to have some raw cheese and raw milk as well. And yeah, it is basically the diet of our ancestors. That's what we've been eating for thousands of years. Wheat is an invader. It's a new thing. And look at how it's changing the shape of people's bodies.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I look at pictures of the 50s in America. Women used to have nice bodies. Guys looked fit. You know, now it's just like, wow, everyone's obese. And they're really sluggish and stupid-headed. Like they've been eating too much GMO and wheat and sugar, and they have yeast in their bodies. I really see a difference. It's very alarming, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Modern wheat's more just as addictive as cigarettes, and it also makes you dumb, and it zombifies you. That's absolutely true. You know, I wouldn't even call it wheat anymore. It's been so genetically modified and hybridized anyway, you know. But it's, it rots your teeth. You know, it's giving everyone all the cavities and they don't know why. And so many people are trying to do the good thing and get their weight off and walk and exercise, and they can't work out what's doing it. But People need to see the big fat pigs and the hogs and the cattle that are being fattened up with the grains, you know. And and it was amazing in America. I think it was in 1972 or something like that. They changed the diet of the American people through the government there, and brought in all this low fat stuff. So, you know, all the Americans started getting spooked from eating butter and all this, you know, cholesterol and fats.
Oh, yeah.
And then it went on from there. And then you can see how it perfectly, it fits Larnach, because we're not getting enough cholesterol and people are too overweight. Their brain's not getting the cholesterol it needs. And then now they're bringing in the statin drugs. And you can see how also they brought in these artificial sweeteners as well, like aspartame, to put in all the food that's low fat. It's just unbelievable.
Well, that's why it's important to also, we like to throw in some health programs, because Western countries have been hit the longest with a lot of these yucky products and the GMOs and the chemicals and the vaccines and the pills. And I want to do some research to actually see who's on some of these chemical boards, who's been pushing for some of this stuff, because it just seems so nefarious, because the research is there to know that these things are not good for us. We don't need them. It's killing us. And so we try and educate people about that as well, because we need people healthy minded. We need healthy bodies. We need clean bodies. Otherwise, you're talking to people. I noticed that when we go out, even trying to place an order for coffee, it's like you really see the difference in people from 15 years ago. I mean, they're like becoming stupid from everything that they're consuming. And it's very scary, because you try and tell those people what's going on and you want them to think clearly, and they just don't hear you. It's like they're not there anymore. They're almost becoming this other kind of creature, something that's not even a human anymore.
Yeah, it's brain fog.
So that seems to be an agenda, though, Lana. You know, it's an agenda, isn't it? I mean, because and would you say it's tied up with this this white genocide? Because it appears that the white race seems to be the major enemy, the major hurdle for these sort of parasites to overcome. What's your view on that?
Oh, I agree 100%. So, I mean, the fertility rate, there's so many white men and women right now are complaining about infertility. We know what the issues are. Yeah. So this is what makes me really skeptical about all these endocrine disruptors that are in all these products and all this synthetic clothing and all these other things that you don't need to have, you don't need to be exposed to. So, I mean, I've had women writing me, you know, I can't get pregnant, and I tell them, stop using this product, stop eating that, stop doing that. You know, we've heard stories of women who have tried different herbs and got off of certain foods and then they got pregnant right away. So really, this is an attack on us being able to have children and to be healthy and to be clear-minded, for sure, because it's not happening in India, or we're not forcing some of these things on Africans. In fact, I heard that there was some baby food that had a bunch of GMOs in it, and they were selling it in America one way, and then in Africa they were selling the non-GMO version. So why is that? Right?
There you go. And they're giving babies GMO, baby formula in plastic bottles, and then heating it up in the microwave, and not breastfeeding.
Yeah, it's having a feminizing effect. Of course, these endocrine disrupting chemicals are. See, what happens is we have these sex related genes that are turned on and off, and in response to basically fluctuating levels of hormones in the womb. So, if you have some exposure to hormones that are even fake hormones, it doesn't have to be real hormones. It can actually affect the fetal sexual orientation and differentiation. So, whether it's natural or unnatural chemical, I think that there's a connection here to these boys being more feminine. And then also having, you know, sexual maybe confusion, or even more gay babies. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more intersex children being born now with strange looking genitals. All these things play a part. And we'd actually would like to do some sort of video on this, because it's a huge topic, one that really has to be studied.
Oh, God.
That is a massive topic.
The women are becoming manly, aren't they, Garth? They're getting muscles. Quite scary. And the guys are becoming sort of feminine. It's really strange thing to watch take place, Lana.
It really disturbs me.
Yeah, the women are kind of like bulky and aggressive, and they're all going out. I don't know. I've watched it take place over many years now, but it's getting quite in your face now, this kind of thing that's going on. And it's definitely done through the food and water. But as Garth said before, if you look at all the poisons that we've been given, not just through the vaccines, you know, which have stealth cancer weapons in them and react with hormones or all sorts of things, could be anything, especially kids who get leukemia in that target age of 3 to 6 years old or 5 years old after they've been given their shots. They're cancer weapons, and that's done with purpose. So we have a lot of people who are giving information about vaccines and these things, but no one's saying, well, this is being done with a tin. I mean, the fluoride and hydrofluorosilicic acid and these chemical waste that's being dumped in our water in Sydney, in Australia, and there are places in Queensland's actually ahead of everybody. They're taking it out now. And the government there did say, look, it's up to the councils. If you want to put it in, do it. And one of the councils up there, Lana in Cairns, said, why would we poison our own people? That's an actual council up in Cairns in northern Australia. So they don't have any fluoride in the water, but we do. And I've got to spend money. I'm a taxpayer to get the stuff out. And, you know, and we know that it's softening the tissue and the blood-brain barrier, which allows all this aluminum and barium and stuff. They're spraying, seem to be spraying in the atmosphere, and also all the other chemicals in the environment, in the shampoo, sodium lauryl sulfate, all these petrochemicals to pass directly into our brains because that's being softened there through the fluoride in the drinking water. And we also have new studies where it's calcifying our pineal gland.
Oh, yeah.
And also our nervous system as well. And our, you know, all that inside of our bodies are being calcified by this stuff. And as you've talked about on your show as well, the Monsanto genetically weaponized food is attacking our immune systems. We have another immune system, if you will, in our stomach lining, you know, which is passing into our brain as well. So the Monsanto food is designed to attack our bodies. And so this is unbelievable. I mean,
it's serious stuff. I mean, we're getting it on every level, mental, physical, spiritual, if you will.
Yeah,
so the war has to be fought on all fronts. That's why we have to be more holistic in our approach. When we approach the topic of white genocide, because there's so many different angles to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it seems to be, isn't it? It's the war on all fronts, for sure, and it's running deep.
It's
yes,
on purpose.
But how you've had a lot of experience with this, and particularly with Red Ice, and, you know, I think you were some of the first to bring on people to discuss this topic. I'd like to get a bit more into it personally, you know, into finding a bit more about this white genocide and what's happening over your way, particularly in Sweden, because Sweden seems to be the dumping ground. You know, they seem to have honed in on Sweden, and particularly, I can't think of her name, that Barbara Spector. I think she was over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the one that she looks like the Galapagos Island iguana, Garth.
Yes, that's the one.
She looks like the Galapagos Island iguana, Barbara Spector.
That's a good one.
Actually, I'm
You should make an image of that.
Yeah, but I'm sorry I insulted the poor iguanas in the Ecuadorian Galapagos Islands. I apologize. Yeah.
But she was over there as, I know she can't help what she looks like, but she shouldn't go on YouTube.
A cow with lipstick, maybe.
Yeah, well, anyway, but I think a mouse worse than her looks. To be quite honest, but what she was saying was horrific. When I heard, looked at the video, it was dreadful what she
venomous.
Was saying publicly.
Yeah,
it was
venomous.
Frightening. And this is in a country that's a white country.
Yep, that's right. She's saying Europe must be multicultural. They need to learn. They're not going to be the great monolithic societies they once were, and something, and Jews will be at the center of that, she says.
Of course.
Yep. but then meanwhile in Israel, no, Israel's just for Jews, right? There's no multicultural stuff going on there. I mean, really, they hate the Nordic men and women. I mean, they're smart up there. They're beautiful. I think that there's a lot of old history there for Indo-European roots. I think a lot of people have come from up north. So there really is a war on the Nordic countries that you see transpiring up there. And why is it that eight of the big media outlets there, six or seven, are owned by Zionists? Why is that?
Yes,
of course.
That is incredible. And when you're talking about ancient going back, you'd be familiar with Eustace Mullins?
Yes.
Yes, well, Eustace, I've got quite a few of his books here. He's sort of a bit of an icon to me because I learned a lot from him, from his books, particularly with the money side, the Federal Reserve and that. He was the first to write on the Federal Reserve. But interestingly, he goes way back to Noah. I'm just going to be very brief, just to sort of get your view on this.
Sure.
With the white and the dark race then, because evidently when they, I wasn't there. I don't know whether it happened or what, but I'm only going on what these people write. And evidently, one of Noah's sons fornicated with a dark woman. And but the other son, Shem, who was the white, and that was why evidently Noah was selected to survive, because he maintained his white heritage. And it, according to Eustace Mullins, that the breeding from the dark tribe formed another tribe. So there was the tribe of Shem, and there was the tribe of I can't think of his name, Jephthah, I think. Now, how does, have you gone into any of that sort of stuff, getting right back? Because I'd like to know, get from people who are, you know, are scholars. I'm not a scholar. I'm just somebody, I'm a carpenter. And I'm not a scholar, but I would love to know way back where it all started.
You know, this, well, isn't that the question? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at a lot of different societies, and I know there's some great imagery going around, even with the swastika or blue-eyed white gods, you find that in a lot of civilizations around the world, from down south to up north. So there definitely is a connection there that needs to be looked into. And I think that this war that we're experiencing here, this force that wants to eradicate white people, basically, I've been saying this for a long time too, I think it's something old. I think that there is a spiritual connection here. And I think that John Lash may be onto something with this archontic infection. And I think, I mean, it might be that the whites are actually an ancient race, and we've been here for a long time, and who knows where we all came from. Many times I've speculated if, you know, some of the races are so different, like you have the Aboriginals down there, it almost feels like we're so different, like we've come from, evolved from different sources completely. So I think that there is an ancient story there, and I too would like to learn more and try and investigate more and dig into it and see what I can find.
Yes, well, we had on the show, Adam got on the show, we've had them on a couple of times, to see Stephen and Evan Strong, a father and son, and through, it's strictly science, Lana, and they claim that it didn't, the Homo sapien didn't come out of Africa, as they say, came out of Australia.
Yeah, now, they were on with Henrik as well.
I want to get Stephen on again. I need to ask him, Where did the white sort of chromosome come from? You know, I mean, if that's the case, and they've, through the mitochondrial DNA, they've proven beyond doubt that it didn't come out of Africa now. But the one thing there that's sort of the problem is that they've taken this DNA right back, and there's a strand there they can't explain.
Well, I also saw a recent story, sorry, but just saying that Scandinavians were actually the first Europeans.
Yeah, well, that's right. And this is where I'm totally confused, you know, because they claim it all started now in Australia. And going back virtually a million years, they're talking about 950,000 years.
Well, they're claiming that the native Aboriginals here, they strictly say that their ancestors are from the stars, from the Pleiades. So these Pleiadians, who were blonde-looking and tall, as we know, the Nordic-looking, came down and interbred with them. This is their theory. But there seemed to be some type of war here as well, where maybe these parasitic sort of creatures, or archons, as John Lash calls them, came here and they left the planet or something, and interbred with humans as well, which may describe our psychotic side and our good side. We don't know, but it's an interesting theory they have with that.
Well, I'm always curious, though, when people try and say, the Nordics, like the Nordic aliens came from somewhere else and they came down. It kind of reminds me again of the story of, like, when you hear people saying white people aren't indigenous to anywhere, they're the invader. I'm always skeptical of that, because it's almost like saying that we didn't spring from the earth and we didn't evolve from here. I think that there's a northern connection here. I know Henrik and I have speculated different things on that, but
yeah.
I think that we do come from here, and I do think it's the north, and I think Europe is important land, and we've been tied to that. It's actually tied into our racial memory and our psychological makeup, so it's part of the fabric of our race, and it's an important piece of land, and I think that that's another reason why they're trying to destroy it, because we're so connected to it.
And to take and
there's,
people away.
There's so much archaeology. There's so much archaeology there, and digs that have yet to be done. I mean, in Sweden, they don't even do digging in all the areas that they should be doing.
They won't show us anyway. They won't show us that anyway. But you know. And it's the stripping man away from nature too, isn't it, Lana? That's what they do so well. That's a really important thing, to take us away from nature, which, you know, it gives us a confused identity, really, once that happens. And they put us all in these cities, but especially there where you're talking about in Scandinavia, you know, to break these people's culture apart and strip them away from nature is probably their main goal, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mentality of a pagan is really can slay the forces of the left. Because, I mean, the pagans were like radical traditionalists. They were tied into, you know, primordial fundamentals of our existence. And it's like we've been passing down these universal principles through the years. And they're proven. It's the existence of an order in reality. It's based in nature. It's based in what you see. It's based in things that are tried and true. And so the farther you get away from that, the easier it is to be mind-controlled into something superficial like egalitarianism or whatever other bullshit left ideology is going to come out next, you know?
Yeah, it's sick stuff, isn't it? You know?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think, Lana, what do you think about John Lesher's idea, you know, about this archonic sort of parasite, or you know, this control of people's minds here in the Jewish race? It seems, do you think they were chosen, these people?
Well, I think anything's possible, but if you look now, I mean, geez, they've really succeeded. I don't know if they just caught us off guard, but man, they seem to have this like super strength, and they're obsessed to take over and be in all these high positions and meddle and things. And I don't know, maybe sometimes it's hard for us to understand that man could be so wicked or so devious, and so we like to say that it's something supernatural. But I also believe in metaphysical things and have had experiences with things that I can't explain that I think are spiritual. So I think that there actually is that element. Now, I'm not closing the door on that, so anything is possible. Are they, you know, semi-possessed by this other force that's working to try and eat away at the good forces? Yeah, I think it's possible.
It seems like an energy thing, as John Lash states, isn't it? Like, you look at all these world wars, and I was looking at a book talking about 9/11, the Twin Pillar Towers, you know, being a mass, you know, ritualistic sacrifice. And you look at all the wars throughout history and what was done to the German people. It seems like something there, you know, is feeding on this. And you look at these parasites, as we call them, not elites, but, you know, why are they raping and killing children? And we've talked about this with Judy, didn't we, Garth Byington, about these satanic black masses that these people do, and how they inflict massive amounts of fear on these children before they die, to get the adrenal glands going and the blood pumping before they kill them. And you got to ask yourself, what the hell's going on here, and why are they doing that? And then you look at war and the mass agony and suffering. It just seems like something, you know, is feeding on this. And
It all seems like part of the Abrahamic tradition too. If you go back into the Old Testament, you find a lot of these really sick things going on. So I think it's funny when people do the dress up and you know, pray to Satan and stuff. I mean I'm not scared of it, but to them, they're trying to bring out a certain energy or make it real, and I guess that's the thing that could be kind of alarming, like, oh, geez, these people really believe it, and they have these devious motives, you know?
Yeah, that's what Garth and I always talk about, that the Catholic Church, and through all these movies like The Exorcist and that, they're hoodwinking us to think that there's a devil and people get possessed, when it's not that at all, and we think that we might be looking at something extraterrestrial or interdimensional parasitic species, maybe. And I think that if they are, or if they're just men, just evil men on this planet, it seems that they are tapping into free energy. Because I think we're all part of one energy source, and it's basically loving and good. And I think, of course, if they're going to get access to free energy, they're going to use it for bad, and it's going to be very powerful as well.
Well, that's why you need a good inoculation. You need a good antibiotic to take care of the parasite. We need to be really hard about it.
And the same, what are they spraying, Lana? We have all this information that they're spraying now, these nano dust. Which can fit on the end of a pin, and these are like little computers that can get on people and animals and get everywhere, and they can actually send and receive information, which is really frightening, because if that can get into our brains, it means they can create an interface there with this stuff. And we also hear about they're vaccinating us in the atmosphere as well, that we're being vaccinated through breath. which is really frightening. And I've got some articles I was looking at where they're getting this biofilm from people's gums and their dental lines that's being sprayed in the atmosphere. But one positive thing in new laboratory tests, they're saying that this organism was dismantled, if you will, or stopped by ascorbic acid. So that's an interesting thing, you know,
well,
on
I
that
think
study.
That's why it's important to also keep up your minerals and your vitamins and take different herbs, to keep it up, because I think then you'll be able to combat some of these things. And we are going through kind of an evolutionary test. Who's going to be strong and fit and who's going to know to do the smart things to be able to survive to the next level? And a lot of people, unfortunately, won't make it to that next level.
Yeah, but how weak and gutless and spineless they are to spray us like cockroaches. We don't have
any
say in it, you know?
Well, I think some of them actually believe that they're doing something good. I think some of it is stupidity, but then I think that there probably is another group there that knows that it's harmful and doesn't care. I mean, they're spraying these nanoparticles now for antimicrobial properties onto eco-friendly clothing, they call it. And we don't, I mean, these nanoparticles can pass through the blood-brain barrier. It's creating new pollution problems in our waterways. But they actually think that they're doing something good. So some people are just really stupid.
Yeah. It's just sick stuff. I don't know what to say about that. You know, it's unbelievable that we are being, you know, what right do you have now? You know, as a human being, if you protect your immune system and you want to be healthier and look after yourself, and they're spraying this stuff on you, and you're breathing it in. It's going into your body, and we don't know what it's doing. You know?
Yeah, I know.
So it's you know, as you said, we have to keep our immune systems high as we can. I think that's all we can really do, and try and battle through it and stop them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and your dad there has the right idea, right? He's living out on his own land and being self-sufficient.
Yeah, he's doing all sorts of weird things, Lana, like growing food and vegetables and spinach, you know, and he's got horses. It's good. And we go up there all the time, and it's great to get back to the country and to go and walk on miles and miles of beaches with not a soul, you know, and just rivers and lakes and forest, you know. And I really do believe that I really love a American lady who unfortunately died a long time ago. She was Ann Wigmore. She kind of started the wheatgrass movement in the United States, and I think she died in a house fire. And she had many books on this, and talked about how we lose a part of us in these cities, you know, with concrete all around us. You know, when we get our feet back on the land and in the grass and we get back to nature, you change so quickly, don't you? You know.
Well, and that's a very pagan thing. That's how our ancestors viewed life. I mean, I feel kind of stir crazy. I mean, we do a lot of work at the desk, you know, at the computer, technology. But I have days where I just feel stir crazy and I have to go outside. I feel like I'm going to go insane if I don't. I have to be able to put my feet in the ground and maybe be somewhere warm. And like you say, walk on the beach. I think it's really important to take the time to do those things.
Breathe.
Yeah.
No one breathes anymore. And you know, they don't stop to look around, have a breath, just work out what's going on. It's just rush through life and get shoveled into a hole with an atheist attitude.
Yeah.
You know? And it's really sad. But anyway, I think we're about done. Garth, you're still there, aren't you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I saw that stuff, Lana, was very depressing yesterday about what these gays are doing in San Francisco as well.
It's disgusting.
I put that on Facebook. I couldn't believe it.
Nothing floors me, though. I mean, what are they going to do next? Like rape a child in public, you know? It's just insane.
But these are white people, you know?
Yeah,
I like to say nothing shocks me, but I almost gagged at that. I just can't believe they're doing that. I just can't believe it. It's just And they're doing that in the middle of the day, in the middle of when they should be working, you know? I mean, what are these people doing? They're urinating on each other in the middle of the day in San Francisco. What's going on in America?
They're just diseased, you know? They're just sick. I mean, that's the conclusion I've come to. Like, you are sick in the head and you need to just be hauled off and dealt with because something is very wrong with you. It's not normal. These people are just obsessed with just pushing the limits all the time and ruining anything that's sacred and traditional. It's like that's what they live for. It's not like they're not even convinced of what they're doing, but they're doing it just for the shock value, just to, you know, stick it to everyone else all the time. But eventually it's going to be used up. You'll have done everything and you'll have killed and diseased yourself. So yeah. It'll take care of that problem.
They need to be thrown into a ginormous black hole.
Yeah.
Just throw them in there. You know, what do you think of that, Garth? I mean, I know we have the gay parades in Sydney and people take their kids, you know.
Well, I think it's a sign of civilization
in decay.
Decline.
Yeah, but it's not us. It's not us. We just have to walk straight through them.
Historically, it's happened before. I mean, it happened to the Roman Empire for a start. I mean, all this was rife. You know, we're not meant to do that. You know, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about human morals. You just can't do that. When you're starting to do that, it's to me anyway. It's definitely a decline.
Well, that's why I say get out of the way. Get out of the way and let them kill each other off, or you know, get diseases or whatever, and then we'll be setting up something else in the woods, something nice and pretty.
Well, that's
they won't be invited.
No,
God. Oh my God, these people, man. Oh, they are unbelievable.
I couldn't even look at that. I'm not.
With their fat stomachs out, you know?
Looking at men in the nude has got no appeal to me at all. In fact, it's quite disgusting.
I wouldn't call them men,
guys. That's good. That's good to hear. A straight white male, nothing wrong with that.
I've never bothered with this idea until the last few years when there's so much of this homosexuality, particularly in my own country. And it's frightening when parents, so-called straight parents, take their kids along to see this disgusting display of these homosexuals in at King's Cross in there in this parade. And, you know, what sort of people are you when you take your kids along to watch this crap?
It's like in their head now, they think they've been programmed that if you're gay or if you're not white, you're more special. You're like a saint. You're special in society and you need to be held up and appreciated. I mean, that's what I see here in America.
Yeah, well, I still think it's a sickness.
Yeah.
It's a disease.
They're fanning the flames. I mean, you've got those shows, Lana, like The Modern Family, where there's always these shows now and there's got to be these gay men couple in them, don't they?
Oh, every single one. And they're always just over the top, just super fruity, too. It's like, why can't you just be gay and be quiet about it? Why do you have to announce it all the time to everyone?
Yeah, I know. But it's obviously they're told to do that, you know, and they're pushing an agenda. And people, if they're going to take that serious and if they're going to go and watch that and turn it on or go to the movies and line up and pay for it, then they deserve everything that they get, you know?
Yeah, there was a show MTV called Faking It. I don't know if you have seen that one, and it's about these two girls, and they're straight, but then they decide, if we pretend that we're gay, we'll be popular, and they pretend that they're lesbians, and they come out, and then the whole school just loves them, and they become this popular overnight sensation, and they're just loving it, and then one of the girls, like, of course, decides, wait, maybe I am gay, right? It's just like... Oh, it's really ridiculous,
I put the new movie link up on your Facebook page with Danny Glover, and it's about the evil white Nazi who kills a black cop and then takes a perfect black family hostage. You know, we're getting these movies and these types of movies where all the scumbags and toilet bugs of society, they're all white people. They want to kill and rape everyone, and you got the black cops and the Mexican cops and the Asian cop who's the lady, and they're all forensics guys and Steven Seagal you know. It's unbelievable, you know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Evil white people, you know. But
I can't keep up with it. I thought, I should review this one or review this one. There's another one called Dear White People, and I definitely have to bring myself to watch that and do something on it.
I saw
it,
that one.
It's so bad that I almost have to do something like a weekly or a monthly review. Like, okay, here's the anti-white movies for the month, you know, because we can't keep up with their budgets. I mean, they've got like billions of dollars going into this. It's insane.
You're on the ground. You're in the United States. I mean, we're hillbillies here. I mean, we don't get hardly any of it. It's bad enough, but I can't imagine what you get. Oh, my goodness. Your head must be exploding trying to keep up with all that garbage.
Yeah, I just try and disconnect from it. But sometimes you feel like, no, we need to point it out. It's good for the...
Exactly.
Like Garth was saying earlier, sometimes you have to point out for people what to look for, and then the spell's kind of broken. The magic doesn't work anymore. Because a lot of times, I mean, we've been caught, too, looking at, you know, symbolism in the background, trying to dissect that stuff. But a lot of the big programming is actually right in your face in the script. Yeah, in the characters.
Yeah, it is. Mm. And it's like going back to all those American Pie movies as well. They do it. They really get people sucked in because you grow up here and you think, oh, American college is just people having sex and going out and having fun and everything. But with these sort of buddy movies, they're always Jewish too, aren't they? Like the Big Bang Theory, that's very popular here, and they're all astrophysicists, and they all work for NASA, and the guy's got the dumb blonde, of course, you know. But
I think they say Jewish probably 30 times or something in that series.
Yeah. And Seinfeld, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. On and on. It never, ever ends. So it's unbelievable. But you see all these movies, and they do manipulate, especially for people who are not aware of what's going on. They'd like to go and see these types of movies and have fun, you know. And the whole time it's being shoveled into their subconscious, and it's making people sick, and they don't know why. You know, because they're aluminium and they're spraying in the atmosphere and the fluoride, they're forgetting because they're getting Alzheimer's early.
I know. I used to feel like, okay, I want to disconnect and unwind. I'll put something on. And then, nope, can't do that because you're getting assaulted on a different level. It's like there's nothing you can watch. I've even put on like a stupid HGTV show and then seen political correct ideas and couples in there. It's just insane. I mean, it's everywhere you go. And then even a nature show, they'll slip something in about egalitarianism or something. It's just everywhere.
It's just slogging you over the head, isn't it?
We need a white, sort of a white takeover, create our own TV stations. Why can't there must be people with a lot of money, surely. There's plenty of white people with money. Why can't they invest in that? What's the problem?
Well, we got to find those people. And don't forget that, you know, Hollywood, it was started by Jews, but the technology was started by Thomas Edison. They actually stole his technology and they refused to pay him royalties. They actually had gangs, and when Edison would send boys to come collect royalty because it just got out of control, Jews are making all this money and still not paying for the use of the technology, where they would actually beat up Edison's guys that were coming to collect the money that they owed him.
They had a code, Lana, in Hollywood where they wanted to make really decent films, and the Jews, they just came in, they inched their way in, and it was amazing because they started making all these films about, like, demonizing if you smoke marijuana, you know, those types of exploitation sort of films where a guy smokes marijuana and goes and has sex with everyone and jumps out the window or something, or alcohol, and that's how they got in. And then they started doing it almost in their backyards or alleyways, and they started making this. If you look at, I think it's the 1940s, those sexploitation films in Hollywood that started coming out. And people started wanting to go and see that because they seemed to know us and how we think, and they got into that side of the human mind and took over, and it's never been the same since.
Did you watch that film I told you about, Hollywoodism, where the Jews are bragging about starting Hollywood? Yeah, and they actually are talking about projecting onto, you know, white, non-Jewish people their view of America and the American dream as an outsider, you know, who hated us for not letting they didn't let us into the country club, basically. So now we want revenge, and we're going to go in there and we're going to twist things and project them back to you. And so it's like they presented twisted distortions, not the truth of what America was or what the American dream was. But eventually people started believing it and thinking, like, yeah, that's what it was. They started putting in the racial tension. They started putting in tension between men and women and all kinds of other garbage and filth that we didn't have on TV before.
And the plan behind that, it just seems like they always knew what to do, and they just implemented, you know, year by year, decade after decade, they implemented this plan that they already had drawn up. You know, that's the scary thing. You know, how they say they get their knowledge.
It was the guy that started that with the advertising. He was a nephew of Freud. What was his name, that guy that started the advertising? He got American women to smoke.
With the cigarettes, yes.
Yeah. Edward Bernays.
Bernays, that's him, yes. Well, we must be a weakness in the white people. There is definitely a weakness there somewhere morally.
It's goodness. It's just that I think that we're ultimately very good, and they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, but we've accepted the pornography and all that sort of stuff. Well, you know,
overnight, Garth. It's over a long, long, long time. They've just drilled it in through your generations of children as well, you know?
Yeah, and then education, and then all this, like, tolerance teaching, and it's normal. You have to accept people who, you know, want to have sex with horses, and it's okay.
It's great. Yeah. Go in San Francisco and get guys to pee all over you. It's fantastic.
But surely, deep down, there must be a moral code there, still there, somewhere. you know, why is it in other people and it's not in a lot of other people? You know, why is the difference? Surely they must see that these things aren't right, aren't correct. You can't do those sort of things and expect to survive. I find it difficult understanding that particular part as to why they do that. What is it in for them? Surely they must have some sort of a moral code there. I mean, it goes back, isn't it? I mean, they say that Moses brought the Ten Commandments, but, I mean, there were tribal systems going back thousands and thousands of years that had the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Australian Aboriginals, for example, they had the Ten Commandments, if you like, the same sort of moral code.
Yeah, well.
And, I mean, they claim Moses clicked it on. The Jews claim Moses was their man and he brought it in, and they don't behave like that. The Jews don't have a Ten Commandments. They have a moral code of their own.
Yeah,
totally their own.
Interesting where that comes from, too, you know. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Doesn't seem human to me. You know, what they did to the German people, again, it's not human. They got humans to do it.
No.
Through just absolute ignorance, and you know, but I can't understand it. And they're doing it right now in the Gaza, incinerating women, children, babies, men, and they're sitting up there on the hills drinking beer, laughing at them. These are people that I never
understand. Yeah, what drives me
nuts
is there's a lot of Christians that are okay with that too. They just support Zionism no matter what. It just really drives me insane. A lot of neocons in America right now, so that's another problem. They're not right, far right enough to combat what's going on, to deal with what's going on. It has to be no mercy at this point if they think that they're going to save anything here.
Well, yeah, the word sociopathic comes up. I mean, it's particularly that one big guy that's the Christian Zionist. He claims that because they've ignored Netanyahu, there's going to be some big things happening to America, like payback, if you like, from the gods. Did you see that?
Yeah, no.
Payback. Yeah, yeah, oh, because of the treatment that Obama was supposed to be giving to Netanyahu. This guy makes a public statement of how many millions he's got following him. This is the sort of thing that's, you know, really, really dreadful, isn't it?
Well,
that it's
well,
going
like
to come back on America.
Like I said earlier, it's like the Jews or Mags, they couldn't get into the white country club, so what did they do? And they're like, okay, we'll come genocide your children then. It's just so extreme.
Oh, it's absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
We might finish up now, Lana, just get your opinion quickly on the state of America. Obviously, you're on the ground there. What's happening around you? With people being able to get a job, the economy. What are you seeing happening there with white families? I've seen some terrible stuff where people are living in the woods, you know, with buckets of water and so many people losing their houses. So the news is only all crap here. And we like to talk with people about what's happening in America because Australia and America are very close relations, you know. And so
we
care about the American people and like to know what's happening to you guys there. What's happening on the ground?
Well, a lot of, as you know, we are having an influx of people coming in from Latin America. So, yeah, jobs are scarce.
What's the immigration
a
year?
White people.
How many a year was it?
Geez. I don't know. It's got to be up to a million now. Yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah. I mean, we can't take it anymore. I mean, if people are concerned about overpopulation and the environment and the infrastructure, I mean, have you seen, and I talked about this in the video, have you seen the trash alone coming across the border into America? That these people leave behind, you know, and these people coming, they don't care about human rights and gay rights and women's rights. So that's what I'm really shocked that all these lefties are okay with it. But anyway, the jobs are going. It's getting crowded. Mm. People are getting unfriendly. America used to be very friendly and people used to give good service and they were very polite and it was just a good energy. But now it's going down the tubes. People aren't as friendly anymore. They just seem stressed. White guys, it's definitely difficult to get a job. People are struggling, trying to make ends meet. I think it's going downhill. I see this basically separating. I think it would be a good thing to have this country break up into different areas because California might as well be its own country now versus the South versus the East. We need to break up. We need more of a secession movement, and that's what I'm kind of hoping is going to happen.
Yeah, more like local government stuff and people taking charge of their resources and water and their own rules and regulations, even bringing in their own banking and their own money, you know. But
it's going to take a lot of people doing it at the same time. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll be Waco all over again.
Yeah, I can't believe like a million people. We only have, like, what do you have, Igar? 23 million, you know. That, I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, Australia is still pretty hard on immigration.
So, well, they get put in detention centers, so prisons, really. But
I think you guys used to blow up ships and stuff out in the water that were coming in, boats that were coming in illegally.
Yeah, they blow up ships if they're illegally fishing. They'll go and set them on fire, you know. And you know, but we can't have them here, Lana. It's not a Muslim country. It's not good. It's not good for us. It's just that their Muslim religions and their traditions and their extreme attitudes is good in their country. Do it there. But they bring it here and it just doesn't work. It's not the country for any of that. We're more good for the Americans, especially Europeans. A lot of Italians came here and they grow things and the farm started up and they build things. That's you know, we're good with the Europeans and the New Zealanders as well here in Australia. But these extreme religious countries, it's getting a little worrying in Sydney because they're putting these mosques and their kids are coming up with their own languages and their own traditions. And I feel like they're preaching in there to hate us.
Oh, of course. And Australians, there wasn't an Australia before you guys built it. It's just like America. There wasn't a country with an infrastructure like this till we made it. Same with South Africa, same with Canada, exactly. Same with New Zealand. And I find that all of those countries are getting the same lines, same lies blasted at them. You're the invader. You're also an immigrant. You stole the land, right? You're getting all the same arguments. And this is bullshit. It needs to be pointed out. We have to be louder about it and start educating. You need to educate some of the young Aussies there. We didn't steal the land. We made it. And by the way, a lot of Australians were brought there against their will, too, in slavery, correct?
Oh, yes. We're indeed. watch a film, Tasmanian film, Lana, called Van Diemen's Land. Very good film about this. They were brought here from England and they tried to escape and end up eating each other because they didn't realize where they were. Tasmania is very harsh, very brutal. Most of it's forested and snowy and jagged mountains, and they tried to get away from the captors to go back to Hobart, and they ended up eating each other. It was actually based on a true story, so it's it was a harsh life for them, and they didn't even have anything to eat, you know, and they were brought here for meager crimes like stealing a loaf of bread and stuff like that. And nothing said about that as well. But the kids are being made to feel guilty about what happened to the Aboriginal culture instead of being taught, you know, instead of being helped with it, they've been made to feel like sort of guilty, like they did it, as you said. And it's this white guilt. But in Australia, we've built a really good country here. We've built beautiful places here and everything's clean and nice. And then these people flood in here and then they want to kick us out, you know, and bring down our wages. I mean, we actually had banks here, Lana, like Westpac Bank. This came out in the news where they're actually bringing in Indians from the call centers, and the white Australian ladies have to teach them. And they stand behind them for a couple of weeks, learn everything. They fire the ladies and then they give the jobs to the Indians. This is what the banks are doing.
We just lost the caller.
I think it's it's Bill Gates, Lana. In his coffin, we always say that. Oh, jeez. He doesn't like us.
Yeah, well, that makes me sad that you guys are... Continue. I wanted to hear what you were saying there.
Oh, I forgot. I got so excited. I forgot, but...
well, you can hear it back. You recorded it. Yeah, see, you guys are getting hit with the same garbage, the same lies.
You do. Yeah. I was just saying, their jobs are being taken over by Indians, especially when it comes to manufacturing or call centers, where you have, white ladies who are made to train them, and then they get fired. And then the Indians take the jobs overseas, and we have a lot of great iconic Australian companies, whether it be wool or shoes or manufacturing companies, who are moving to Thailand, Philippines, India and that now, and people are losing their jobs as well. But generally it's quite strong here. Guilt thing. We don't want that in this country, especially with our young people. We want them to be like Garth. He's like a carpenter and a builder, and we want them to learn trades and get on with their lives. We don't want them to feel guilty for something they didn't have anything to do with. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's just That's just it.
And
exactly.
Same in America as well. There's actually people who want to be American Indian, and they're not even American Indian, but they want to dress like them, you know, these extremist people, you know, and you're all being made to feel guilty about that as well, and it didn't have anything to do with you, you know.
Yeah, but the big thing in Australia, though, it was political right from the start. I mean, we're talking about white genocide, but it was black genocide in Australia, because the policy was to get rid of the Aboriginals. There's
yeah,
no
breed,
two ways
breed
about
them
it.
Out, yeah.
They bred them out, but they were breeding them out. They didn't breed them all out. Because there's, there's quite a lot of them. When I say quite a lot, I think there was only 300,000 here when old Captain Cook landed on the shores here. But there weren't many Aboriginals overall. But there was a political agenda here to get rid of them. There's no two ways about it. But then they've used that agenda ever since, because when you do that to a race and you get the half-breeds. It then becomes a social problem within the country.
With alcohol and stuff, yeah.
And this is what happened, and it's happened all through the workforce. It happened everywhere, and I sort of grew up with that, because I remember we were at Grafton after the war, World War II, and I had an Aboriginal friend, and I was told that I wasn't allowed to play with him. And I was roughly around about 8 years of age.
I bet you if you look back far enough, though, there was something going on, because we're not told everything with the Indians here. We're not told that they were killing each other and killing us and kidnapping our women. I mean, they made a lot of efforts to also try and get along, and things didn't work out. So,
I agree. I think on both sides, and the Aboriginals definitely attacked, but I guess it was their country. So I suppose, you know, I just think there was an agenda originally, and I think there was an agenda as well, part thereof, not of all the people. I'm not saying that at all, because there were a lot of good people fled from France into America. They were the when the Catholic Church tried to wipe them out, the Albigensians. Is that how you pronounce it? Albigensians? They tried to wipe them out, or they did wipe them out in France. A lot of them fled from there into America, and they were religious good people.
Well, that's just, it's the double standard. I mean, a lot of white people were fleeing bad conditions, seeking a home where they can start over, where they could be safe, whether it was religious persecution or they were starving or wanted to start a new life. So they came here and set things up. So now we're expected to take in all these hordes of people, and we're supposed to enjoy it and rejoice after our ancestors shed blood, sweat, and tears to start things over. I mean, who was there to help them? Who paid taxes for them and educated them and provided health care for them? Nobody. But now we're expected to do it for the whole world? It's always these double standards.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I agree. I definitely agree, because, it's just I made that point that the particularly in this country, was that there was an agenda. So that same agenda maybe is the one that's getting rid of the whites as well, because they used the white to come and take over, say, Australia.
And now
British on the chopping block.
plus, it was some British elite that were doing that as well, right?
Zionists.
They were doing it all over the place, and did it to the Irish too.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and now, as Gar said, our heads are on the chopping block. Now,
yeah, why should we be blamed for what a few elite did, you know, a few hundred years ago? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive plan. The scope of it is so big. And, if you look at it, it makes sense. But it's ugly. But, and we also have racial vilification laws here, Lana, now. We had Brendan O'Connell, a West Australian man, given 3 years in a high-security prison for having an argument with a Jewish student who was filming him. And that case went all over the world, and he was given prison time.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that was Brendan O'Connell. He's a filmmaker, and he was being photographed by Jewish students, and it got a bit nasty, and he said, "Don't touch my fucking camera," and all this stuff. He swore at them,
yeah.
And it went through the courts, and he was beaten up in prison as well. So,
is he out now?
Yeah, he's out, but he's constantly going through his stuff and raiding his house, the federal police and stuff. So
they put him back in.
Yeah,
recently he went back in. They got him back in. Yeah.
Because he's exposing some pretty scary stuff, especially with Mossad, Israeli intelligence, and our rail and all that sort of stuff.
He has inside information, particularly with the Navy, and Mossad has been into our Navy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's exposing some of that, and they don't want him around. That's what it's all about.
Well, we had that cafe siege in Sydney. You would have seen Lana in the chocolate shop. That was a classic Mossad operation. And now we find out that there was a drill there a year ago. So in the same place.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Here we go. Same as the shootings in Port Arthur. You know, they blamed it on the blonde guy. You know, I can send you that book if you would like to read it. New book out on it. The massacre at Port Arthur. It's a pretty unbelievable read. But they blamed this guy, this young man, who never did it. And that was to confiscate our guns and bring in gun law in Australia. So you can see the plan. It goes way back. But as you said at the start of the podcast, you know, Australians are just very, we'll just take it, you know. We're sort of just, you know, she'll be right. Everything's okay. And we're just sort of sitting there while this dark clouds come over the top of us. But we need to start moving now, you know, and get our country back, because in Australia we still have a lot of space and we can do it. It's a good country to live. Things are still good here. So we don't want to lose it, you know.
I think we need to work on setting up groups in our own countries, but I think we should also think about some kind of a pan-European movement where we also have a network that's international. God forbid some other things happen and escalate.
Yeah, just keep interconnected like we're doing with you today and on Facebook, and keep stories going up, and we just get this spider web connection, you know. You put one story up and it can go all over the world. But that's not to mention what Red Ice and you guys are doing. I mean, it's absolutely huge site. So everything that goes up there is so important, and every podcast we do is like a fingerprint, you know. It matters. And so we just need to keep talking, Lana.
That's
right. Keep chatting away.
Keep doing it. And everyone who does a show or a video, like you were saying that you had seen things on TV and you had written notes, you should start making videos about it and put it up. And we can all share those things and get them out and around, because there's so much material that needs to be dissected and attacked, and it all helps.
Is Red Ice looking at doing anything in TV, or are you guys looking at expanding anything there out of radio to do something
else? Sure. Oh, yeah. We're working on a lot more videos. That's the next level we want to get to, is do more regular video content. It's just hard when you do a few shows a week, and it takes a lot of time to prepare those things and set it up and whatnot. But we're going to get better about that and start putting out more video material for sure.
Yeah, they're great movies. The ones you've done are really nice, high definition. They look nice and really good quality. And obviously your show and Henrik's show at Red Ice, they're such good quality. And so really good job. Good on you. We love
Thank
it
you.
Here.
Really professional, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're a beautiful lady, and we enjoyed chatting with you very much. And maybe we can get you on again sometime to keep up to date with what you're doing, and you can tell us about all these shows as well.
Sure. Sounds good.
Ugly shows, but keep doing what you're doing, and it's been great talking with you.
Likewise. Nice meeting you both.
Yeah, great. Great, Lana. All the best.
And we'll keep in touch.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks so much.